The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to the 4 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live. It is a brand new book out that is absolutely fascinating. The way it is written, it is a series of interviews, but most importantly, the topic of the interviews, the longest-serving justice currently on the United States Supreme Court, Clarence Thomas. He is loved by many. He is hated by many as well. The new book is called Created Equal, and it is my privilege to welcome to the program one of the writers of the book, Michael Pack. He is a writer, producer, director. He is president of Manifold Productions. Michael Pack, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bob. Good to be on.
Well, it is my delight. This book is unique and unusual for many reasons, but one of them is this is a follow-up to the very well-known and incredibly successful two-hour documentary, Created Equal, that many of our listeners saw, and I assume enjoyed. What prompted the book after the documentary?
Good question. Well, for those listeners who haven't seen the film, it's still streaming. You can get it on, it's streaming on Amazon, where you can also buy the book. Or you can go to our website, ManifoldProductions.com, where there are other streaming options. But you're right, the movie, which came out about 2 years ago, was very successful. It was on PBS before it was streaming, and it was in movie theaters. And we heard from somebody, you know, so the film, as the listeners who saw it will remember, is based on a long interview with Justice Thomas and a shorter interview with his wife, Ginny. So I interviewed them for over 30 hours over a six-month period. So there's a huge amount of material, and not a lot of it went into the film, which is only 2 hours.
Sure.
So people kept asking, like, what else did they say? What else was in the material? And my co-writer, Mark Paletta, who's a longtime associate of the Thomases, came up with the idea of, let's do a book. Let's take some of the material that wasn't in the film and put it in a book. And the book has 95% new material, and it's fascinating, and you get to hear from Justice Thomas in depth in a way that we really couldn't do in the film.
I think that's the thing that surprised me the most is his candor.
Mm.
Most Supreme Court justices are pretty tight-lipped about their own personal feelings and so forth. Clarence Thomas is very, very open, candid, and transparent and even some very controversial areas. Were you surprised by that?
I was initially. That's a good question. I mean, he agreed to do the interview. We were really blessed that he did. It was a great privilege. It's the longest interview any Supreme Court justice has ever sat for.
Wow.
And he is suspicious of the media. I did not know him before this process. He trusted us, and he agreed to do it. And one of the things about Justice Thomas, as we point out in both the film and the book, very stubborn. He agrees to do something, and he sticks with it. And I explained to him it was going to be a very long interview, but I think he thought by very long, maybe 2 hours, not 24 hours. But he agreed, and he didn't, you know, he had a lot to say, and he committed to sort of being honest and open and talk about everything. And he didn't back off. I thought when we discussed the Anita Hill part of his confirmation hearing that, you know, it might be, he might call halt, but he did not. You know, he went through it, and he made, during that time, his only suggestion ever in this film, over which he had no editorial control, or the book, And that was to interview also his wife, Ginny, who he thought could say things he could not. And that was a very good suggestion.
Well, and that was my next question. Did he have any agreement with you that he had to sign off on the content of the documentary or subsequently the book?
He did not. And
really?
PBS would not have put it on, for example,
okay.
if we
All
had
right.
such an agreement. And he did not. And he... I did want him to see the film, at least before it went on the air, to correct at least factual errors, but he did not want to see it until it was actually broadcast on PBS.
Really?
So that's when he saw it, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, boosting our Nielsen ratings a little bit, but it was still an unusual choice.
We're talking with Michael Pack, co-author of a brand new book, Created Equal, Clarence Thomas, in his own words. It is absolutely fascinating. Michael, I am positive you did your homework before you began the interviews, but what surprised you about these interviews with Clarence Thomas?
Well, the thing that, I don't know if it's this, what moved me most, and maybe it surprised me somewhat, is his resilience in the face of so many setbacks. I mean, he had such a tough life in a way. He was, you know, he was born in a Gullah-speaking area outside of Savannah. You know, his father left, you know, before he could really remember. His mother took them to Savannah where they had lived in dire poverty. It was the segregated South. She brought him to her, couldn't raise them, brought him to her father's grandfather to raise. He had, you know, the grandfather gave him hard work, sent him to parochial school, and they had hard work, and it was tough, and he rejected that. He went through his radical period, and he had struggles all his life long, to say nothing of the endless attacks by the left since the Reagan years.
Sure.
But in spite of it all, he had this tremendous resilience, I think, founded on his faith, his Catholic faith, but a tremendous resilience in spite of great setbacks. And I found that inspiring. I had my own little political battle subsequently, and I always thought of Justice Thomas.
It is Created Equal, Clarence Thomas, in his own words. We're talking with Michael Pack, the co-author. It is published by Regnery, which is a subdivision of Salem Media, and quite proud of that you chose Regnery, or Regnery chose you. I don't know how that came about.
We chose Regnery.
Well, good.
I had to say yes.
Good choice. Good choice. I knew our time would go really, really quickly, and it's coming to an end. What I ask all authors, Michael, is when one of our listeners picks up Created Equal, you can get it obviously at Amazon. You
Barnes
said createdequal.com, right?
Well, no. You can get it either at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or go to my company's website for the film, which is ManifoldProductions.com.
Thank you.
But,
yes,
but
Manifold
Productions. You can get that at Amazon, too.
And you can get it at Regnery as well. But my final question is always this. When one of our listeners picks it up, reads it, closes it after finishing it, what is the takeaway that you want readers to take away when they finish your book?
I would like them to be inspired by his life story and believe that it should be an inspiration for others. I would like your listeners to give it as a copy to their children or grandchildren. I think if Clarence Thomas had a different kind of politics, his story would be unquestionably an inspiration. To come from dire poverty in the segregated South, his grandfather raised him, had a third grade education, to come from that to the Supreme Court is an amazing story. I want them to be inspired by his resilience and his faith and his life, and that's what I hope that they come away with from the book.
And I think that's what makes the attack from the left just so incredibly sad.
Yes.
This man is such an inspiration, not just to minorities. I mean, what an inspiration to minority young people, but he's an inspiration to everyone. And the unmerciful attack that he has received is just tragic.
Up to today, his wife was attacked on the front pages of the Washington Post, our hometown newspaper, today again.
I have not seen that. I know she's been attacked in the past, but I didn't know about it today. Well, again, Michael Pack is the co-author of Created Equal. Get it. I think you will be encouraged. I think you'll be inspired. I know that you'll be surprised by the content of the book and the incredible candidness of Clarence Thomas. Michael Pack, thank you. I appreciate what you have done in providing this information for all of us.
Thank you, Bob. Great speaking to you.
All right, again, it's Created Equal, Clarence Thomas in his own words. We will continue in just a moment.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, the Southern Baptist Convention finished their annual convention out in Anaheim, California. Some fireworks. I don't think as much as many people expected. And I want to make it absolutely clear, I am an outsider looking in. I am not an insider in the Southern Baptist Convention. In fact, all of the new officers, I've never heard of before. Never heard of them. Now, that doesn't say anything about them. It says everything about me. I don't keep up with the politics of the Southern Baptist Convention. I am concerned at what happens with Southern Baptists because they are the largest Protestant denomination in America, and whatever happens with the Southern Baptists impacts the entire country. So I've said it over and over again. Whether you are a Southern Baptist or not, you should be concerned about what happens within the convention. They have a new pastor. They have a new president. His name is Bart Barber. He is a pastor of First Baptist Church of Farmersville, Texas, which is really different because, from what I can gather, First Baptist Church of Farmersville, Texas is a small church. Now, it's not 25 people, but from what I've read, it's about 300 people. Usually, in fact, almost always, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention is a pastor of one of the big, big, big mega churches in recent history. That has always been the case. It almost seemed like that was a prerequisite. And maybe it's a good thing that the new president is a pastor of not a small church, but a smaller church. From reading his statements after his election, and I went and looked at some of the statements he made before his election, I think he's a good man. He has made clear his position on biblical inerrancy, made that abundantly clear that he is an inerrantist. He believes that the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. He also, well, let me, before I get, let me back up. One of the, I don't know whether I would say it was one of the larger of the controversies, but it was a prominent controversy, was whether Saddleback Church, which is the church that Rick Warren has pastored for more than 40 years, whether that church would be disaffiliated from the Southern Baptist Convention. In other words, kicked out. Now, remember, every church in the Southern Baptist Convention is completely autonomous. It's not like other denominations. In fact, technically, they're not really a denomination. They're a convention. Anyway, what was the controversy? Last year, Saddleback Church in California ordained three women pastors. And they did it loudly and proudly. Well, what's the problem with that? The Southern Baptist Church, in its theology, is complementarian. Now, there's the egalitarian position, which states Scripture does not denote men, women for pastoral roles. Anybody can, as long as they have spiritual qualifications. The complementarian position says that in God's sight, we're all equal in love and so forth. But as far as leadership roles, Scripture is clear that pastors are to be men, that the spiritual leaders of local churches are to be men. And you and I have discussed this on many occasions. And whether you agree or not, the Southern Baptist Convention is complementarian. It is in their doctrinal statement, and it is not ambiguous. Well, Rick Warren's church ordained 3 women pastors, which violates the Baptist faith and message, which is the official doctrinal statement of the Southern Baptist Convention. So, Saddleback Church, under the direction of Rick Warren, who, by the way, is retiring. I mentioned that a few days ago. He is retiring, stepping down, and a pastor from up north. Anyway, a pastor and his wife are coming, and they have already chosen the successor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, Saddleback Church, under the direction of Rick Warren, clearly and intentionally violated the doctrinal position on the gender of pastors of the Southern Baptist Convention. And because of that, there were several messengers, as all of the attendees of the convention are called, who were demanding that Saddleback Church be disaffiliated and just said, hey, you can no longer call yourself a Southern Baptist Church because you don't believe what we believe any longer. Well, that was tabled. And what's going to happen with that, I don't know, but it has been tabled. So no action was taken. However, in light of that, the new president, Bart Barber, well, you try that 10 times in a row. The new president, Bart Barber, has made it clear that he is a complementarian, that he believes that pastors are to be men, that the leadership, the upper leadership of the church, is to be by men. He also addressed the sexual abuse issue, praised the report that came out, and called the entire Southern Baptist Convention to repentance and to make sure that things like that never, ever happen again. What kind of a president is he going to be? We'll see. Will the Southern Baptist Convention remain united? Well, we'll see that as well.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.